In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We stand for our entrance singing.
Oh, my soul praise the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness, give thanks for your compassion, and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for this morning is recorded for us in Ruth, the first chapter. In the days when judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the women were left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, 'I have hope,' even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks, Lord, thy whole heart. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
Great are the works of the Lord. His righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. The Lord is gracious and merciful. The epistle is recorded for us in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering of a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his feet at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and to give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Return, arise, and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Towards the end of the divine service, in fact, the second from last thing that we do in the divine service, we have a response. It's simply this: bless we the Lord. And the response? Thanks be to God. But think about that. Who are we? Sinners, yes, forgiven and redeemed sinners, but sinners nonetheless, that we can offer to God anything from our hands. And yet the response that we give is perfect. Thanks be to God. Thank you is one of the greatest gifts that we can give to the Lord, for it acknowledges all of his goodness towards you and me. And the Lord then continues that service. In fact, he speaks a blessing upon us, the very words that he gave Moses to have Aaron say when the people were dismissed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You see, we are the ones who are blessed by the one, the giver of all good and perfect gifts. The Lord promises that he will be with you, that his face just shines upon you as a father towards children in whom he is well pleased. And he promised to go wherever you go and to remain with you, your shield, your strength, your all in all. And there's really no better place to be. Well, today's gospel reading takes us to the region of the boundary between Galilee and Samaria. And Jesus and his followers were approaching a village. And there were 10 lepers who saw Jesus at a distance. Now, you remember, leprosy was a horrible disease. In fact, it was contagious. And those who had leprosy were consigned to live apart from the general population. Even worse, when they came near people who were not leprous, they had to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Talk about a social stigma they had to bear. Lepers understood it completely. And yet they see Jesus, and they recognize in him a hope for healing. And so instead of crying out unclean, they cry out in prayer, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And seeing them, Jesus directs them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Well, the priests in Bible times were the public health officers as well for the nation. And they're the ones that made the pronouncement. If you came down with what they thought was leprosy, the priest would examine you. And if he confirmed the diagnosis, you would then go live with other lepers. But if your leprosy was healed, the priest again would examine you. And if you were healed, he would readmit you back to society. And the 10 went. And while they were on their way, their leprosy was gone. One of them turned back and came back to Jesus. When he saw that he was healed, he was praising God with a loud voice, and he fell at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, this was a Samaritan. Wasn't even one of the promised people, the Jews. But yet it's the Samaritan who recognizes that Jesus is God, doing the work of God, healing people of their diseases, even the dread disease of leprosy. And this Samaritan worships Jesus in a way that other Jews had not yet done. He fell at Jesus' feet and praised him. And Jesus accepted that praise because he is God. But then Jesus asks a question. "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Well, they were healed too. When they went to the priest, no doubt he pronounced them clean. And they could go back and join their families and their communities and be active again in society. Did they have any less reason not to be thankful? They had every reason to be thankful. But did they give thanks? Here we come upon a problem that's not just found in the first century or the 21st. It's found in every human heart after Adam and Eve. And that is a sense of ingratitude, of you owe me something. And when I get it, why should I thank you for it? It's my due. It's my right. It's my privilege. Think about this nation in which we live as Americans. By any objective standard of living around the world, all of us are bountifully blessed. Even the poorest of the poor among us in the United States is richer than 68% of the rest of the world. What conveniences do the poorest of our poor lack? They have everything that we do. Maybe not in as great of abundance, but they have food and clothing, shelter, health care, utilities, smartphones, computers. They have access to jobs. And yet, there's a growing trend within our nation to hate America and to despise the very gifts that God has given us. And so we have people, young people in particular, who will stand up and shout that they have never shared in the American prosperity. And these are often children from wealthy homes where everything they ever needed or wanted was given to them in abundance. Ingratitude. It's not just a first century problem. It's ours as well. So what do we do in our country? We grumble. We whine. We complain that so-and-so has more than I do. And until I have what they have, life is not fair. It is unjust. We want to become modern-day Robin Hoods to steal from the rich and give to the poor, me, so that I can be rich. What's going on? The prince of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of many people that they cannot even recognize the many blessings that are given to them. And it's almost like he's tempting Eve and Adam once again. Did God really say, you will not surely die? Why, God's holding back from you. If you would just eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will be just like him, knowing good and evil. Instead, we're hit with covetousness, wanting more, demanding more, expecting it. The New Testament is very clear whenever it mentions covetousness and greed. It says that those are idolatry. Instead of looking to the Lord, the giver of all good and perfect gifts, and being thankful for all that we do have, and sharing what we do have with others, we're instead wanting more, more, and more, so that I will truly have my piece of the pie, and I'll be taken care of. Oh, our hearts are so treacherously sinful. What's in your heart? Are you content with what God has given you in life? Your health, your home, your clothing, your food, the community in which you live? Are you grateful? Or are you a bit resentful? Maybe even angry? I know Kathy likes to watch HGTV with all these home remodel shows, and I can only take a little bit of that because my sin comes out of resentment and covetousness. It's like,
How are these people who are just 30 years old affording a $1 million house and all these upgrades? That's my sin. It's not Kathy's sin, it's my sin. And I choose not to watch programs like that that feed my temper or my passions in a negative sense. The Samaritan had it right. He knew that he deserved nothing from God or from Jesus, and yet Jesus gave him everything. New life in the place of the leprous death he was facing. He gave him a brand new start and the hope of life everlasting. And he gave thanks. The other nine, though, I think there's a sin we haven't mentioned yet that plagues our world today. It's the sin of entitlement. That I am entitled to everything that I want, and I better get it. And if God is not going to entitle me to it, then I'm going to grumble and complain. And again, this is not new. Perhaps the best case study we have of this entitlement mentality goes back to the days of Moses and the people of Israel. They were in slavery and they cried out to God for deliverance, and God raised up Moses, and God demonstrated his mighty power through the acts of Moses, the 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were determined not to let the Israelites go. And God destroyed the Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea and brought his people over to the other side safely. Now, if you have been part of that entourage and experienced all this yourselves, I would hope and pray that you and me would be grateful and filled with gratitude for all the Lord was doing for us. It came and it went pretty quickly. And the people in the wilderness began to despise their freedom that God was giving them. They looked back to Egypt and, oh, the leeks and the cucumbers and the vegetables and the meat pots. We had all that we wanted to eat. And here we are in this wilderness and all we have is this manna. Oh, I'm bored, God. I'm entitled to better. And this went on for 40 years. And Moses, poor Moses, often bore the brunt of the people's resentment against God as he was blamed for all their troubles. And yeah, look at the miracles. Manna every morning, 6 days a week. On the sixth day, enough for the seventh day, so you wouldn't have to gather it again. Water when you were thirsty. Even in the middle of a desert, water gushes forth from a rock and refreshes the people. The clothing they had worn coming out of Egypt did not wear out those 40 years of their desert sojourning. Neither did their shoes. And their feet did not swell. God kept them healthy. But because of their ingratitude, he swore that no one over the age of 20 would enter his promised land. And even Moses had shown God disrespect in the face of the people. And he too died without entering the promised land. Entitlement, ingratitude, covetousness, greed. These are real sins. But go back to our gospel reading for today. Jesus hears the prayer of the lepers and he heals them all, the grateful and the ungrateful. They each received God's full measure of blessing in and through Jesus. And the Lord continues to provide for the needs of his people. and we have come to the Lord's house this day. And here in the divine service, we have a constant reminder of all that God does for us through his Son by the power of the Spirit. We can come together this morning as we did a few moments ago, and we can acknowledge our own dark, sinful hearts before the Lord. We can come clean with God and tell him, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I have been ungrateful. Yes, I have been covetousness. I have coveted. Yes, I have made greed into an idol. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you heard God's words through me right afterwards. I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you and I are cleansed and redeemed to come back into the presence of God. And our God has promised to meet us, for wherever his word is, there the Lord himself is present. And this morning we are hearing God's word, and the Spirit is driving it through our ears and into our minds to transform our hearts within. In a few moments we will come to the Lord's table, where the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which bore the sins of the world upon the tree of the cross, which has been raised from the dead gloriously at Easter, that body and blood passes over your lips, into your mouths, and into your bodies. It's the most intimate way of God telling us, you and I are his. For he joins himself to us again this morning. And as we leave this morning, we leave with the very same blessing that God gave to Moses through Aaron for us, to go out from God's house grateful for all that he has done, to know that the Lord is with us. He is protecting us. He is providing for us. Nothing better can be said. Then thanks be to God. May the Lord fill each of us with this gratitude forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.
Stand for prayer. Like the lepers, let us pray. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We pray for the Lord's mercy on all of us and on all people. For those who preach and teach, that the word of God be spoken in truth and purity. For those who hear, that we be convicted of sin, brought to repentance, and know the grace of forgiveness. For Rudy, Don, Karen, Cassie, Amanda, and David, who remember their baptisms, and for those newly baptized, and those soon to be baptized into Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Church of Christ, for newly planted congregations, for St. Mark, Holy Cross, and Zion congregations, for the mission work of the Church, for our Chinese outreach at SIU in Carbondale, for all catechumens, including Chris, Gwen, Audrey, and Adam, and for our synod, district, circuit, and those who lead us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors who speak to us in God's name
and administer to us his sacraments, for those preparing for this ministry, for those who are considering church work vocations, and for the seminaries, colleges, universities, and schools where our church workers learn and are being formed for service to us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For husbands and wives, that they be faithful to each other. For the homes that they have established, that they be places of blessing and love. And for parents and children, that they love and honor each other as the Lord wills and desires. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For neglected and abused children, for those removed from their homes and placed in foster care, for those who provide temporary and permanent shelter to these children, and for those charged with this responsibility in our state and community, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For caregivers and medical professionals, for hospitals and nursing facilities, for the sick, the infirm, the aged, and the dying, for Clem, John, Nina, Brian, Norma, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Kathy, Sherry, Deborah, Alvin, Jeanette, Herb, Parker, Reagan, Holly, Joshua, Stanley, Hope, Ed, Jim, and the Martinez family. That God grant them patience, strength, and faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For an end to war and violence, for those who defend our nation, for those who preserve order against the threat of terror, and for those who serve as judges, that justice and peace prevail, and that we all work together for the common good, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For thankful hearts like the Samaritan leper, that we never forget the Lord's kindness nor presume his mercy. For Carly and Eric as they rejoice in the births of Fiona and Otto, and for a generous giving spirit, that we be preserved from selfishness and jealousy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For courage under trial, for protection in times of temptation, and for boldness, even when persecuted for the sake of the faith, that we, our confession of Christ, be bold and unwavering, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive the blessed food of Christ's flesh and blood, that we eat and drink worthily, that we be united in doctrine and life, for those who belong to Jesus but are not here today, that we rejoice that oneness in Christ that transcends time and space, and with thanks for the saints who have left as a legacy of faith and good works, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful Lord, grant us faith that works in love, hope that does not disappoint, compassion that does not fail, and confidence in your mercy that does not waver, so that we live with faith in you and fear of you all of our days, and then fall asleep in the arms of your mercy with everlasting peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the gathering of the offering.
Please stand. Continue with the service of the sacrament on page 208. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sins, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruits, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree that all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink the true blood of Christ, which is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. And now may this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Take and eat. true body of Christ, which is given into death for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take and eat the true body of Christ, which is given into death for the forgiveness of all your sins. May our Lord Jesus keep the baptism of your sins. Take and eat the true body of Christ, which is given into death for all Christ's sins. glory. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.